Remember when the United States and the former Soviet Union were deeply suspicious of each other? The Cold War and the West couldn't trust the East and they couldn't trust the West. You know, just like now. Seriously, though, I'm thinking of the last gasps of the Soviet Union at the end of the Cold War and the players who seemed to pop onto the cover of Time magazine almost weekly in the late 80s. You'll remember Mikhail Gorbachev. There was also Boris Yeltsin. And then there was Eduard Shevardnadze. He died today at the age of 86. Shevardnadze was the Soviet foreign minister that Washington could deal with, an eloquent white-haired diplomat at Gorbachev's side, and later the president of the Republic of Georgia, forced out ultimately by a peaceful revolution. Our friend at the BBC, Natalia Antalava, interviewed Shevardnadze several times, including once at the end of his political career in 2003.
I went up to his mansion, which he managed to keep after he was ousted from power. He still got to keep his presidential palace. He had aged incredibly through the revolution. I was very struck by how he really wanted to avoid talking about the end of his government. What he really wanted to focus on was his legacy in the post-Soviet era, so things that Georgians really didn't care all that much about at that point. And he talked about, you know, his role in ending the Cold War. We talked about Afghanistan and his role in pulling the troops out of Afghanistan. He talked about his all his Western friends, the Germans, who still very much credit him for reunification of Germany, his relationship with Reagan, and so on. Another thing that really struck me was just how lonely he seemed, and he did actually say, "I'm very lonely these days." So to go from that glorious career as the foreign minister of the USSR to being really an old, lonely man on top of a hill overlooking a city that no longer wanted him or needed him is quite a journey.
And politically, Natalia, do you think that quote he gave you, "I'm a communist, became a Democrat," did he resist a temptation to become a dictator?
He was undoubtedly a visionary who saw the weaknesses of the Soviet Union and together with Gorbachev worked towards transforming the Soviet Union. And that's something you can't really take away from him. And he also had a great deal of courage, both political in terms of taking massive political risks and coming back to Georgia after the collapse of the Soviet Union was one of those risks, and also personal courage as well. I mean, I remember watching him on television as a child, walking into, you know, extremely dangerous, hostile situations, talking to people and so on. At the same time, he certainly wasn't strong enough to prevent the corruption and nepotism that flourished around him. But I think there was a genuine shift that happened within him that he recognized. And it was during that interview that he said to me, "It was tempting for me many times to slam my fist against the table and say no and become a dictator. And I didn't do that. And that to me is the biggest achievement of my life."
What is your strongest memory of growing up in Georgia, in Shevardnadze's Georgia?
I remember very clearly the winter of 1992, which was the worst winter of any Georgian's life, I think. It was the height of the civil war. The city was burning. There was no electricity. There was no food, really. There was schools were shut down. Hospitals didn't work. And I remember a telephone ringing in our very dark and very cold apartment and my mom picking up the phone. And it was my father who was calling with the news that the rumors have been flying around that Shevardnadze was coming back to lead Georgia. And I remember that transformation on my mother's face to that hope that, oh God, maybe suddenly, you know, he was to Georgia at the time, he was really the man, the only man who could deliver Georgia from the chaos that it was in. And it's really interesting that the disappointment that he had eventually brought was just as great, greater perhaps, than that hope that came with him when he returned to Georgia in 1992.
Yeah, that's fascinating. I don't want to let you go without mentioning the fact you're from Georgia. Shevardnadze was too. And oddly, for the first time today in your life, you are in Atlanta, Georgia. Must be kind of weird. Have you had any moments of confusion yet?
Weird indeed. It was very confusing to turn on a local TV network and find out that Shevardnadze was dead in Georgia.
The BBC's Natalia Antalava, as they say, in Georgia. Thank you all for your time.
Thank you.